Welcome, fam. We're gonna do almost a two-part series today because having y'all sit through more than 90 minutes of one podcast is just a lot. So in this one, we're gonna talk a little bit about postpartum and what is up and coming for our little family of three plus a four-legged.
For a baby,
yeah, it's a family of four. And whatever else comes to mind. For starters, I'm officially 3 weeks postpartum today, which part of me kind of feels like I had him months ago, but at the same time, it feels like I had him just yesterday, so can't really wrap my head around the timeline of everything. Postpartum, though, coming off of the birth, and if you haven't listened to the birth story, you got to go back and listen to it for some of this to kind of make sense, but it was a heck of a first couple days at home. I wouldn't even say they were bad. When Holden was first born, because of the trauma he had with his head, I was really cautious when we were first getting him latched to my boob with breastfeeding. Really the only position that he seemed to like be comfortable in, that his head wasn't really cradled, was kind of that football hold position, which was fine. But as we got home, discharged from the hospital and everything, night two with him was really rough. That afternoon, Jake had to go back to work. And he just was inconsolable. He was just crying a ton, and the crying was only happening when I was trying to feed him. And he'd already latched. We'd already assessed that, you know, his feeding ability was good, and he was getting what he needed in the hospital because he was having dirty diapers. And when Jake got home, he just really thought something was wrong. He got pulled in to cry. It was like a painful cry. And so at first we contemplated taking him to the emergency room, and then kind of remembered that part of the midwifery care is continued support through my 6 weeks postpartum. So I don't just go back to them once in 6 weeks and, you know, get cleared for sex, but I actually get to go back. I had a visit when he was 3 days old, 1 week, no, yeah, 3 days old, 1 week, 2 week, 4 week, and then 6 weeks will be the plan. And I can still text them, call them, kind of like Jake talked about in the last podcast, how I just have that extra level of support through it all. And so we called them late that night around like 9 o'clock and kind of explained what was going on and how he just wouldn't take the breaths. At this point, he hadn't eaten in like 6 hours, hadn't had any more diapers, obviously. And she was like, well, go ahead and try some pumping. He's not going to starve overnight. My appointment was at 10 a.m. the next day. So I ended up giving him a bottle that night because he just would not, he could not take my breath without being inconsolable crying. Took him into my midwife's appointment, and Lindsay, the assistant, is a lactation consultant. And so we went back over, you know, how I was breastfeeding in different positions, and they were watching everything, and they watched him suckle on their finger and on my nipple and on the binky. And they were like, you know, your breastfeeding technique and whatnot, and his latch is the problem. My midwife Patricia asked if she could hang him upside down and do an assessment. I'm like, yeah, of course. Well, she noticed that when she did that assessment, his body didn't turn. It just stayed where it was. But the only position that was comfortable for this kid was him being upright, laid on our chest. And both her and Lindsay kind of looked at each other and were like, I think he needs to see a chiropractor. I think he needs an adjustment. And so because of his entry into this world, this poor dude was all screwed up. Head, neck, shoulders, knees, and toes. Like he wasn't doing well. So we booked an appointment for that afternoon at about 4:30. Saw an incredible chiropractor who specializes, it seems like, in sports therapy and then children.
Yeah.
So we were super confident and comfortable taking him to this gentleman. And he found a spot in his cervical spine, between his shoulder blades and his hips, I believe. And
mid-back.
Yeah, mid-back, that's right. He had his first poop that he'd had in almost an entire day in the office after the adjustments were happening. So that was really cool. And the guy goes, I'm kind of magic at making babies poop. Which just right there meant things started flowing again, how they should. And within 2 hours of me getting him home and breastfeeding him again, he was like a completely different baby. He, of course, you know, babies get fussy from time to time, but he was not inconsolable. He was not screaming. He didn't sound like he was in pain. And I'm so happy that we're able to have the midwifery care to catch that, because I don't know that if we would have taken him into the ER and said, hey, our baby's inconsolable, they would have been able to note what was actually going on and what needed to be fixed.
Right.
And so, once we got that better, I mean, we've had, Holden has been great from day one as far as sleeping. We have done contact naps, of course, because he doesn't want to snuggle a baby. He's in his bassinet. He's been in his crib. We've done some co-sleeping and safely. Don't come at me if you're not about co-sleeping. Don't do it. And if you're about it, do it. Cool, cool. But, I mean, he's given us 2 to now. It's more like 3 to 4 hour stretches at night. But even when he was first baby, I mean, 2 hour stretches, he feeds well. For me, I've had a little bit of difficulty the last week, because we did start using a nipple shield after my first appointment with my midwives. My nipples are just very big, and his mouth's very small. And if you are not a mom, or maybe you aren't as educated in breastfeeding, it's not just about putting your nipple in the baby's mouth, but actually like getting as much tissue and areola as possible inside their mouth. And when he has such a small one, and my nipples are big, it's actually a struggle. And then my left side is a little more flat than my right side, and so the nipple shields have helped, but he still tends to, even though he has a good latch, the tips of my nipples just get extremely sore. And so I decided to start pumping a little bit more so I could bring in more bottle feeding sessions and just give my boobs a rest. And then he decided to get really lazy. And since then, he's really only latched to my boob 2 or 3 times. And that kind of breaks my heart, because I love the intimacy and bonding of him actually breastfeeding from my breast.
I really still think that his jaw is just so... I know you laugh at that, but that's a real thing.
Well, and he does have to work a lot harder from my boob.
And that's why I said, yeah. I really think that it's just his mouth being sore. Having to work so hard.
Well, and he would have really long feeds, and he's already, I don't know what's normal for newborns at this point, but his bottles are 3.5 to almost 4 ounces every 3 hours of breast milk. I mean, he's eating a ton and gaining weight right on track, exactly where he should be. Jake has reminded me things don't always go according to plan. He's still being fed. He's happy. And
your boobs aren't broken half.
Yeah, I can actually touch my own boobs and not like want to cry. So it's been a little bit of an adjustment, and I've had to definitely have some conversations with myself not to be upset over a fed baby, you know, whether he's on my breast or he's getting booby milk. He's happy and doing great. And I firmly believe fed's best, whether that's breast milk or formula milk or donor milk. Like, a fed baby is a happy, healthy baby. Those things matter. And so if I'm willing to say that, then I need to kind of practice what I preach and take a little less pressure off myself. But I was really happy when he latched last night. That was nice. So that's the fact that he was hungry 10 minutes later.
Yeah. But also working that hard, and then the cluster feedings were pretty fucking ridiculous.
Yeah. So that was right about 9 to 15 days postpartum. It was like a good 5 days. Cluster feeding was a bitch, and that destroyed my nipples for sure, because, I mean, he would easily eat for 30 minutes and an hour later be back on the boob. Where now, we're out of that more, and he can go 2.5, 3.5 hours, kind of just depending on, you know, how his belly digested. But yeah, no, that was rough. I would say so far that was one of the harder points. Was just understanding that his cry was because he was freaking hungry, even though he just ate. It's not like we're starving the kid, but he sure thought he was starving. But I'm feeling good postpartum. Physically, I would assume my stitches have dissolved. I can't see them, so I wouldn't know. But I got 6 or 7 stitches. I had a second degree tear from the episiotomy, and that felt pretty good. By day 5, where I struggled, no one talked about the extremities that hemorrhoids can be post 2 hours of pushing. It was two and a half. Yeah. I wish that on no one. It was absolutely brutal. I still am not fully back to normal in that area, and it definitely sucks because it just makes my life pretty miserable in that regard. But it's getting better. It's healing a little bit. Things could be a lot worse for C-section mamas that are, you know, doing all the things to recover. I commend them. Truly, I feel like my healing has been pretty good. Timeline's been good. I'm not trying to rush anything. My goal was to take a full 7 days and do nothing and just bond the baby and let people bring me food and, you know, do all the housework. And for the most part, that happened. However, we had him on the 17th, and Christmas was literally the following Monday. Christmas Eve was Sunday. My great-grandma came into town that Saturday. So at 6 days postpartum, my mom and I did go into town, and we had a full day that we had to get food for meals and finish Christmas shopping. And while that wasn't really in my cards, I would rather have gone out with my mom if I needed something than have been home by myself, because again, Jake was going to get grandma and I would have just been sitting in a house, and if there was something that I needed, I would not have had that help. So I think I did okay at resting. I did notice my bleeding got a little heavy there for a second, and I then sat down for 2 days and whatnot. So I'm proud of myself for resting. I think I could have done a little more, but at the same time, I needed on my mental health side to still be doing some cooking and still be doing some things. And, you know, I've listened to my body and tried not to overdo it, but now I'm pretty much back to being able to do normal things on my own. I take advantage when Jake's up of asking him to do certain things for sure, but I am feeling good overall, and mentally I feel good. I think one of my big pieces that I was aware of, and I still am, baby blues, postpartum depression. I have a lot of friends who've struggled in that regard, and I know that I'm not out of that postpartum area, and it's still something that I need to be mindful of, but so far I've felt really good. I think having a positive birth has allowed me to, oh my gosh, is that a big cow?
Yeah.
What is the point of that cow?
Ranch range bulls.
What's that mean?
They're like one of the biggest Angus bull providers.
Oh.
For like beef and stuff.
Oh, I love that you know all the things.
Well, I, you know, farm kid stuff.
We're driving back from Utah, and I keep getting distracted with things on the side of the road. The last podcast, it was a gondola, and today it was like this big statue. How big do you think that statue was?
How big is it?
Yeah.
That's like 12 feet tall.
Yeah, it was huge. It was this big black bowl. Anyways, I think having a positive birth experience was super helpful out of the gate, just feeling good. But also, I've tried, while I have had, you know, like I have the goal of breastfeeding, and I have the goal of breastfeeding for a year. And we had kind of talked about how we wanted to practice sleeping with Holden, and whether he'd be in his room or in his crib or in the bassinet. Like, while we had things kind of discussed and planned, I've tried not to have expectations and kind of just let things happen. And Jake reminds me daily that life is going to keep happening, and probably not in the way that I think. And that's helped a little bit. But I think also being 27 and having seen a lot of friends, I listen to a lot of their experiences going through things, I've known what to expect more so with a newborn, as far as like the sleeping and the wake windows and feeding. And I think 23-year-old me would have been really naive and really overwhelmed and not known how to handle all of the change at once, where I have a very supportive partner who's able to help me. We've had my mom's extra set of hands. Over the holiday, we had my dad here, my grandma here, or my great-grandma. My grandma lives down the street. Like, we've had a lot of people to help, and that's been really nice for me too, because I know, like, even not help with the baby, but I can't tell you how many times my grandparents came over and did dishes in that first week for us, you know, just little things like that. So I think 23-year-old me would have been really overwhelmed and not known how to handle the fourth trimester, but I'm feeling pretty good so far. How are you feeling?
Tired.
You want to tell them why?
Because our child hardly sleeps.
That is a lie.
Okay, he hardly sleeps from like the hours that I'm actually able to really sleep.
There you go.
Yeah.
But why do you have trouble sleeping?
A few different reasons. One is the autoimmune disorder. Two is the, after having a pretty nasty BMX wreck at 14, I don't sleep very much.
So it has nothing to do with your wife snoring? Fantastic. Oh, I did not hear that in there. Round of applause. It's no longer your wife's story.
There is definitely that as well. But but I usually only sleep, like really sleep heavy from 2 to 4:30.
Yeah.
And that's about it. But leading up to that, it's super light sleeping. And then that's when your snoring keeps me awake.
Yeah, so Holden, like I said, he's getting 2.5, well, now we're really pushing 3 to 4 hour stretches at night, but yeah, that right before you get up with your alarm is about the time that you're in the deepest sleep, and his 2 to 3 a.m. feeding is the hardest feed to get him back to sleep from.
Yeah.
The other ones he'll go back down pretty easily. But that one is definitely more of a challenge. It's easily an hour, all said and done, even with giving him a bottle, which cuts the feeding time down from 45 minutes to 15. The other 45 minutes are spent changing him and then re-soothing him. So, yeah, definitely not the best time for him to be awake. I think I have been less tired because I'm not then going to work, obviously, and I can kind of sleep with him throughout the day, depending on what's going on. Last night was a hard night for me, though. I was exhausted getting up to pump. I missed every single one of my alarms to get up to pump and would wake up about 30 minutes later because either my boobs hurt or because he was fussy about the time he needed to eat. So I know there's going to be some good and bad days, but last night was difficult for me.
Yeah, it was hard for me, too, but I didn't hear any of your alarms at all.
That's how quick I turned them off.
But I also, like, I didn't feel you guys go down. I didn't feel you, like, move, wiggle, nothing. Normally I feel you guys move and wiggle and wake up and make sure everything's okay and then go back to bed, but last night I didn't feel nothing.
Well, that to me means that you got a little deeper sleep, which is good. I also think we were really, like, that mattress was a little bit softer.
Yeah.
And I was very much on the edge of the bed. He was obviously between us, but closer to me.
Yeah.
And so I think where our placement was, you just, that mattress was also really good of not, didn't rock the bed a lot.
Yeah, it does.
Really?
Yeah, I thought it did, yeah.
Oh, I thought the opposite. Well, oh well. So, we went to Utah.
Yep.
Not even for the weekend, I said weekend, but it was just a day trip, day overnight trip. First overnight trip, which was exciting. The road trip has been fantastic, so I'm not jinxing us, but little man has literally done
first,
so well.
The first hour and a half wasn't bad.
Okay, I meant like how he's done. Oh. No, this, I almost forgot also. So yesterday morning, Friday morning, I look outside. Well, our goal was to leave by 4 a.m. I was going to get up, pump at like 2:45, and after his first feed, which is around 3 a.m., you know, make sure he has a full belly and then pack the last of our stuff and leave by 4. First of all, we didn't leave till 5. Second of all, I look out the window and I see that it's snowing, and it's fucking like big. They were big snowflakes.
Yeah.
Well,
that's probably the first heavy snowfall I've seen in Idaho in like 3 to 4 years. So.
Yeah, I haven't even seen snowfall like that in a long time in anywhere that I've lived. It was quite the thing. Well, I had planned to drive the first little bit of this drive, and then when we saw the snow, he very quickly said no. So we leave and we're having conversation. We get through Twin Falls and we're like on the freeway to, you know, keep going to Utah. And the roads just keep getting worse and the snow is falling heavier and faster and you can't fucking see shit. I mean, it didn't matter. Lights on bright, lights not on bright. There was nothing.
Well, you never turn your lights on when it's snowing.
Obviously, it wouldn't have made a difference.
It made it worse.
It did. And no snow plows had been out, so it was just fresh fallen snow.
No, they had plowed the slow side. It was way less snow on the right lane than it was on the fast lane. But after semis go over, I'm not driving a car on a pack of ice. I'd rather have stayed on the fresh snow where I could have some traction.
Yeah, so that scared the living shit out of me. Because we were on the fast lane where no one else had traveled. And while I recognize your thought process there, I don't even know that we finished the conversation we were having when I just stopped talking.
No, we did.
I just stopped talking. Went silent.
And went into labor.
I held your hand silently.
You did not say, you may have not said a word. However, it was not silent.
My breathing was heavy.
And labored.
Yeah, I was fucking terrified. And it took all that I had not to ask him to please turn around and take me. Because I knew there was a chance, we'd already talked about a chance of snow in Utah, and cool, fine, but I was not prepared for that to have been the very first start of the trip. Yeah, that sucked.
Yeah, so I prepared you for the snow
this
in Utah.
Area.
Yeah, because as bad as you think Twin was, the last time I went down to that area was far worse than what we went through in Twin, and I was like, I need to tell you right now, this shit is, the last time I went down there, it dumped 2 feet the entire time I was in that area.
That's crazy.
And so I was like, I need to let her know that this is probably going to be the case, and there's really nothing to worry about because I have driven in a ton of snow my entire life.
I was so thankful he was the one driving because I would not have made it. I wouldn't have made it.
You wouldn't have made it.
I wouldn't have made it to Twin. No, I wouldn't even manage Twin. I didn't even like getting to Twin. So no, there's no fucking way. Outside of the weather though, in the very early part of the trip, because then I'd say there was snow, watery stuff on the road.
The majority of the way, till about Park City.
Yeah. But now coming back, I mean, and to our destination, fucking perfect. But as far as holding on the trip, he did great. Stopped to feed, stopped to change him. That was all smooth sailing. And then, yeah, it was really nice to see freaking nothing on the roads. Our destination is about 2.5 hours from Salt Lake? Small town?
3 hours.
Three hours. Okay. Salt Lake's the biggest city close by where we were, and I'm not really going to share specific city location because I don't really think it matters right at this point. But real small town that we visited of like 5,000 people. Because Jake got a bomb-ass job opportunity.
Yep.
You want to talk about it?
Sure.
Give a brief overview because, fuck, I'm not going to do it as well.
Okay, so it's a trucking company over in one of the oil fields in Utah. My role would be the shop or maintenance supervisor for the entire company. So there's three different divisions, one where we're at, one in Wyoming, and one in Colorado. And there's 35 trucks, soon to be 65 trucks. And I would be over the shop. There's only two shops, but three different divisions. So I'd be over the shop in Wyoming, shop in Utah, and make better management decisions than the previous manager did.
Yeah.
by a long shot. Like when you walk on almost 6 inches of floor dry, which is what absorbs oil and coolant and all that stuff that leaks out on the floor, that's pretty ridiculous. That's, if you can't eat off of a shop floor, you probably shouldn't be in charge of the shop. The clean shop is a fast shop. So, offered me more money for less hours,
which I freaking love.
Right.
More time home.
Yep. Because I, as much as I like working, I don't really want to work another summer of 130-hour weeks pretty consistently, even if that's what I mean I have to do in the long run, but I'd still like family time.
Yeah, I would like family time. As Holden gets older, he would like family time. He'd be able to say it.
Yeah.
So we got into town yesterday and met the owner and the ops manager for lunch. And I enjoyed getting to be a part of that conversation because while I don't know anything about the trucking industry, I feel like I learned a little bit yesterday. But it was also nice to, the owner of the company is very genuine. You can tell that she really cares, not just about her company, but also the people that she brings in to work for her. And, you know, she was very considerate of the fact that we just had Holden. She and Jake have been in numerous conversations over the last month. And finally, she's like, okay, like, I know you guys do still have a newborn, but what can we do to get you out here to see the area? And it meant a lot that she was willing to have us, you know, she paid for us to stay in a hotel last night. And she was encouraging of us to check out the area before making a commitment to something. And again, getting to be involved in that conversation was just nice and hear her why behind the company and what her plans are and things like that. It's also nice because, like, I'm a proud wife to hear her have so much excitement and already trust in you from just what she heard prior to talking to you herself.
Yeah.
Because she reached out to you. Like, he didn't go searching for this job. He was contacted by a recruiter at her division. And then, you know, through what you've shared and your knowledge from your previous trucking company and just mechanic knowledge and things, I'm proud that, you know, she's so... Here's a shop, take it and run it how you want.
Yeah.
Do the things and keep in the loop and come to me and let me know what's going on, but do your thing. That's just really cool to hear. And then he went to see the shop, so kind of like what he was saying, where he saw what kind of a disaster was left in from the previous supervisor. I didn't really feel it was my place to go down there at that time because I knew he'd been meeting the people that would be working under him, and I just... Not that I wouldn't like to meet them at some point, but I didn't feel that was the appropriate time to meet them, and I was definitely ready to just get to the hotel and hang out with little man. So they went and had their meeting, and then we went into the town that we would probably be living in. It's a little bit bigger. Population says 10,000, but it doesn't look like a town of 10,000.
No, I'm pretty sure there's more than that. But because of the oil field, there's so much influx and fluctuation.
Of, like, temporary living?
Yeah, and so... Like, the oil field companies will rent properties out, and they'll circulate their guys in and out, in and out, in and out. So one guy will get to stay there for a week, the next guy will, they'll leave, and then the next guy will come in. So there's really probably close to 35,000 to 40,000 people that are there in that probably just even
residents
outskirts.
Versus, yeah, versus, like, actual people.
Yeah.
That makes sense. That's a really good way to explain it, too. I enjoyed it because there were definitely some, like, familiar, you know, fast food chains and things that made it feel not super small town. But there were lots of different locally owned restaurants. That's important to me.
Yeah.
Having places we can go. We got freaking sushi last night. Like, having sushi in the town is a huge plus. We looked at a couple different gyms online, and there's one that I think we're super interested in, which is exciting, that it has the things that we want and need. And then, you know, there's a few different grocery stores. Like, it doesn't feel too small town, because that's something I've really struggled with out in Twin, is that it just, there's fucking five places to eat.
Yeah.
That's it. And I'm tired of the five places. Or there's fast food, and that's fine, but not what I always want. You know, I want to be able to switch it up. And Twin just...
Well, if we're going to eat out, it better be something
decent.
Well, not only that, but it better be able to at least rival what you can cook. Otherwise, yeah. What's the point in spending, you know, an easy $50 bill on something that's going to taste less than what you can make at home for less?
100%, for sure. But yeah, it was nice to kind of see the area last night. We didn't do, honestly, too much around, because I think Google kind of shows you, but I'm a big fan of how I feel driving through a city and the people that I see in there. So we both talked about when we were sitting at dinner, the people that were coming in and going, like, they looked like everyday people.
Yeah.
You know, looked like people like us, and it didn't feel uncomfortable. It didn't feel unsafe. The area felt very safe. We didn't see, it wasn't dirty.
No.
There weren't homeless people out and about. There weren't a bunch of cops with people pulled over or issues going on.
Yeah.
So that was really cool.
And even just in the restaurant alone, we had a farm family. And then we had a couple of bikers come in. And then a couple of nerdy guys and a coach. And just some regular dudes that were there. And then a couple that was, the husband was also a mechanic. And I don't know where his wife was, but whatever.
Yeah.
So the fact that everybody kind of blended in there, and there was no, like, nobody gave anybody a bad look or anything like that. That was pretty nice to see.
And the waitress was hardworking.
Oh, super hard. Oh, well, both of them were.
Mm-hmm. Like, just, and I guess I look at that as looking at the people who were going to be around in the community.
Right.
And that was a positive, that was a super positive experience. Also, it's a 2-lane, like, road in and out of the city. And the speed limit is 45 miles an hour. And I know this might sound fucking silly to some people, but I can't tell you how nice that is. I'm so tired of going 30 or 35 or 25 through these small ass cities.
Yeah.
Let me go 45 and change lanes. So again, it's a little bit bigger, and I really like that. That helps me with moving somewhere new. And yeah, I mean, all around, I think it was positive what we got to see. We've looked at online some townhouses and apartments, and we'll probably have to still kind of figure out what's going to be best, because we haven't got to tour them or anything. Coming in late on Friday night, there just weren't any available time slots for us to view townhomes, and then they were closed on Saturday. So that was a little bit of a bummer to be, you know, 7 hours away. It's not like we can just come back tomorrow, but also we'll get it figured out.
Yeah.
I don't think that's not the end of the world.
Even Mary Lee texted me after everything was said and done, and was like, if I have to drive back from Grand Junction and personally, like, FaceTime with you, she would do it just so we could find something better. And I was like, well, we'll see what happens. But she said by Wednesday, if nothing else, she would drive out to FaceTime. So,
okay. That's cool.
Which is super cool, because most owners wouldn't take the time to drive to a different division twice just for one employee. So
she really, I can't say enough about her genuine personality, because I never, like, heard her on phone calls with you. I haven't read, like, the messages or anything, but you've said all positive things. But to have that firsthand experience, it has been so lovely, is just really wonderful. And she has 4 kids of herself too, so I think that helps, is that she's a family person. Family's important to her. It's important that her staff has a family life, and she's been really respectful of that with us and encouraging all the way around, and that's cool.
Well, even when I was just at the shop talking to the guys, and they both said that they were going to come in tomorrow, and she was like, it better not be more than a half a day. Like, go see it. Both of them don't have their families here yet either, because they both just got hired on and got moved in, because she completely cleaned shop out, like, left and right. She fired 5 guys in a matter of 2 weeks. So, like, she was like, you guys need to be able to spend time with your family. And like, well, we're waiting for our families to move. And so she's like, well, I guess that's fine, but don't burn yourself out. I don't want to see you guys constantly being here instead of home.
Yeah, I like that. And that is kind of our plan too. So I think it's going to make the most sense. One, because I have a ton of shit to pack. I know you really don't, but I have my, I'm not going to say my whole life, but have a lot of things. We have a lot of furniture, and we got a whole baby nursery and a whole tiny human now. But for you to go out earlier and take some clothes and your tools is going to be far easier than for me to turn around with you, you know, in 2 weeks and go right out there.
Right.
So I think the game plan will be that Jake will go out there first, and while that's going to suck to be away, very temporary, get everything established with housing, and then also kind of figure out your role and your staff and, you know, not feel like you can't work long hours and that you're missing things, you know, not coming home to them and stuff like that. Maybe get some good sleep. And then have us come out a couple weeks later and get all established. And I'm sure if you're listening to this podcast and you've at least followed my social media for a little while, I've lived in 5 different states, I think. Washington, California, Texas, Oklahoma, Idaho. Yep. So, haven't done Utah yet. So this will be 6. I'm definitely not afraid of moving. This one feels a little bit different because I think this time there's nothing familiar to me out here. I don't have a friend that I know or anything like that. But based off the community that we just saw last night and, you know, the fact that somebody who was random to us, they knew the owner of the company, paid for our whole meal yesterday, you know, just things like that. Like, it was a good feeling. It felt very comfortable. And I think that this is a really exciting new start for our little family of three, because while I've thoroughly enjoyed living with my mom and having an extra set of hands, sharing my pregnancy with her, sharing, you know, her first grandbaby, and I wouldn't trade that for the world, I think having time with just us is very important, especially since we are still a new couple. We're a new family, and getting into our own routine in our own place as a family of three and a fur baby is, I mean, that's life. That's real life, you know. So I'm excited about a fresh start, and I loved that there was no snow on the ground.
Yeah.
However, I looked at the forecast, and it's supposed to be like the low is negative 12 next Saturday or something like that. That's terrifying. The fuck, holy shit. But there's no snow on the ground. It was blue sky, sunshine. Seemed like it was spring, so that was really cool.
It got down to negative 20 in Twin Falls last year.
I must have been inside. Or working. So, yeah, that's our big, exciting, soon to come. Check it off another state. We've now been in California together, yep. Idaho together.
Yep.
Like visiting, not living, obviously. Yeah. And Utah.
And Nevada.
And Nevada. That's right. I'm excited to check off more states with you, and I'm excited for Holden to check off more states. Granted, I hope to do more traveling to the states when he's old enough to remember, but still really cool as a baby that he'll be able to say when he's older where he's been, what he's done and accomplished and seen. Or not seen, because his eyeballs are closed from sleeping so much. Because he's 3 weeks old. What are you potentially, like, most excited for the scale change?
I want to say all of it. Like, we, you know, as grateful as I am for the company that I work for now, there's still a lot of political garbage that I have to deal with consistently. And, you know, they don't pay the greatest, but they gave more hours than anybody else in the area. And with those hours, I've been able to make more than I would be able to make anywhere else, even with a bigger paycheck or bigger upfront pay. But, you know, being able to have somebody that just wants me to work and it actually gives me a home life too, that'll be really exciting. You know, being able to be back in a management role is also really exciting for me. I would like to step away from being a mechanic sooner rather than later. I don't want to be a broke down old man at 55.
Yeah.
Yep. And that's the real reality of it. So
listen, my hips are already broken, okay? So you gotta stay put together.
Yeah. But that's the real reality of it, is that by 55 you're pretty well broke down from, you know, I'm sure automotive mechanics can make it a little bit longer, but diesel mechanics, it just wears and tears on you. You know, when your brakes are 17 times heavier than legitimately they're, you know, 100 pounds to 180 pounds versus 40 ounces.
Yeah.
That's really a factor of being able to transition into something better, and most mechanics don't get that opportunity.
Yeah.
But then the other things that I'm happy for or excited for is that it really will be you, me, and Holden learning your life together and getting to build something and not have, and no offense to your mom, but have somebody else's nose in our business, whether she even wants to be in there or not. You know, she's still stuck there.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, it's been interesting with us having just a new relationship in general.
Yeah.
It is challenging at times to navigate, you know, if we're having a disagreement, it's a household.
Yeah.
You know, like you said, whether she wants to be there or not, you know, it's hard not to, for her not to want to say something, or it's hard for me to not be able to go to my mom and be like, oh, I'm super frustrated at Jake, where when we're living together, I don't feel like that's a fair position at all.
Right.
Versus if we weren't, for me to call my mom and just let out steam like you had to do with your mom when I was in labor, you know, like, that would be a very different role that my mom would get to play.
Right.
Versus when we're all in the same room. And so I think it'll be good on all of us. I know my mom is going to miss the heck out of us.
Right.
But it's not that far. And that's also really nice, is I've made a lot of drastic moves where from my hometown, where I lived in California, San Diego was 24 hours away. Then I moved to Oklahoma, and that was 30 hours away. And then, Texas, I guess. Texas was, I don't even know, about 26, 28 where I was at. And then Oklahoma was 30. So it's like, I've made really, really far moves where it takes 2 whole days of driving to get home. And if we had a newborn, it would take 3.
Right.
Now, this is easily, not as much in the winter, it probably won't be as easy, of course, but springtime, summer, this is going to take me half a day with him.
Yeah.
And if you're here too, you know, there's a lot of times that, like this, way faster. You know, we got here in 7 hours yesterday.
Yeah.
And it said it should have been 5:45 on the road. That was with the weather we had to start and with stopping every couple hours for little man. I mean, we made great time without trying to. Like, I don't think we were, like, speeding to get here necessarily.
I never once even hit the speed limit, just simply for the fact that I'm not in such a rush to get somewhere to go off the side of the road, if not worse.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't start going fast till we got right about to where we were, but yeah, I didn't get anywhere near the speed limit and still made it, you know, an hour and 15 minutes more.
Well, there's like two or three passes that we went over? They weren't big ones necessarily, but.
There's 2 passes.
And I would say, compared to the passes that I'm used to in Washington, or coming through Oregon into Washington or in Montana, like, they really weren't that. These roads have, for the most part, have been a straight shot. So, for someone like me who's traveled all over, and so is Jake, but the drive back to visit family isn't going to be difficult. This does put us about 12 hours from my hometown. That kind of sucks because that's farther, but how often do I visit my hometown? Not very often. My dad's fantastic and has already, you know, basically planned a trip out here, you know, because he's coming down to Moab, I think, end of February. And Moab's only a couple hours from where we are. So the nice thing, although my mom isn't very good at traveling, it'll be easy to go visit her. My dad has no problem coming to us. Your mom's only 3 hours?
No, she's 9.
Okay. Why did I think 3?
I don't know. But that means it's going to be like 6.5 days before my mom hits. Because my mom loves to stop everywhere and see everything.
6.5 days.
I'm serious.
I need you to stop at that gas station so I can use that. I'm not too nervous.
Okay. Yeah, but yeah.
That does really seem on par.
Well, it's true. Like, when she left Coeur d'Alene to come to Twin Falls, it took her a week and a half because she stopped in Montana. And she stopped.
That's when she went through Yellowstone?
Huh?
Was that when she went through Yellowstone?
Oh, she's gone through Yellowstone like 14 times this year. But But yeah, she hits wherever she wants to go and stops and sees and does whatever the hell it is that she does and
collects rocks.
Yeah. And then eventually makes it. Like, when's your mama get here? When she gets here, it's the only time frame I can tell you. Until I get a text message saying, hey, by the way, I'm in Twin Falls. I don't know what day that's going to be.
Yeah, but I'm definitely grateful that we have some family that'll travel to us, and then it's not that far. And yeah, no, I'm excited. I think it'll be a really good opportunity all the way around. And like we talked about, worst comes to worst, it doesn't work out, so be it. We pivot.
Yeah, well,
and do something different.
Well, not only that, but like just there alone, there's like 800 mechanic shops anyways.
I feel like every, across the street from each other.
Yeah.
Damn near, you know, anywhere you turned your head, you're like, oh, dang, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no. I also didn't realize, I guess, that there were oil fields out. That was just so interesting to me. Like I said, I learned so much yesterday at that little meeting. Okay, we got 15 full minutes left to keep it under an hour. What else do we need to update the people on? We're married.
Yep.
We got a baby.
Yep.
Postpartum's going pretty well.
Yep.
Haven't killed each other yet.
Nope.
We're going to move.
Yep.
Is that the first police officer we've seen on this whole trip?
No.
Well,
there's a ton of them from like here to back home. Did you not see the trucks that were constantly flipped over?
Well, yeah, but I guess I wasn't considering accidents. I meant like traffic violations.
Oh, then yeah.
No, I saw those.
Yeah.
This is pretty good. I got a snack. I got him Reese's. And I'm eating. It's a new Kit Kat flavor. Chocolate frosted donut. And it really tastes like a chocolate frosted donut. Yeah, I'm impressed. So what else is there? I feel like we're forgetting something for sure.
I don't think so.
Oh. Well then. That's late.
Yeah, I don't think there's anything going past that.
Talk about the trip that you're
going to
go on in May. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, I guess we could. Gonna go over to Norway for 2 weeks because that's where a lot of my heritage is from, is Norway and Scandinavia. So finding out that I can trace my bloodline to three different Viking clan, and like one was the right hand man for Eric the Red. Which was, if you know anything about Vikings, Eric the Red was one of the most like ruthless Vikings there was. So, started learning and studying more about the beliefs and everything that they did as a society, and was like, that's kind of why I don't fit in anymore. So, I'm gonna go over there for 2 weeks and. I'm not going to go to any one specific city and be in the city. I'm just going to go out and camp in the actual countryside and feel connected to the world that way instead of being in a city.
I am nervous. Just because I know he's going to be very much like off the beaten path, and I'm excited for you. I think it'll be something that obviously you remember for a lifetime, but also something that is right up your alley of things that bring you joy and connect you, like you said, to your heritage. A trip that I would not want to go on at all. Like, so it's really cool that you already had this planned, you know, before we got together and everything. But we're going to miss you for 2 weeks. It's going to suck. I'll probably travel back and see family. I don't think that I'll just stay out in Utah. I couldn't see myself doing that. I'd want to be around some people.
Right.
But yeah, I think that's super exciting for you. Oh, we are hopefully still planning to do Easter in Chalice with my great grandma. So in 2015, I think is the year that it started, my uncle started getting everyone, or the majority of everyone on that side of the family, together for Easter at my great grandma's house. And that was a year after my grandfather had passed. So I think that was kind of the reasoning for it. And Easter just seemed to be a good time before. It was a holiday that like wasn't around spring break, winter break, summer break. It just kind of was a different time that people could kind of come and gather. And we kind of got away from that. And I actually wasn't able to even go to any of the ones that happened in the beginning just due to different circumstances. But my uncle's been talking about doing it again this year, and I think it'd be a great time for Holden and the family to meet. And then, like we talked about in the last podcast, having that 5-generation photo, that'll probably be the first opportunity there. So we had that trip planned for Easter, and that'll just be a quick little weekend. I mean, nothing crazy. And then I would still really like to go to Washington and take you to my hometown. I need to eat some Mr. Sub. I need West Side Pizza, and I need you to have a donut from Super One.
Okay.
Very important things. Where? Honestly, I'm the food focused one in the house for the marriage.
Yeah. What pizza joint was it that we went to? In
Pete's Factory.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Yeah, I miss having that close by. But it's nice to get to just have it as a treat once in a while.
Yeah.
Where were we at? Do you remember the name of the town?
No. Somewhere in Nevada. Yeah. It was something small.
It was. I mean, there was not much to the town but a gas station and that. And connected to the pizza factory was a laundromat.
And then an RV park behind
it. Yeah. It was a very interesting location. I would have not, like, pegged that city to be a city that had anything, let alone a pizza factory, but, yeah, so I would like to go up north. My 10-year class reunion is this year, so I know that I'll end up there in June timeframe, but based off you taking a trip for 2 weeks in May, I'm not confident you'll be able to go with me
right.
In June, so I'd like to bring you up there beforehand, and outside of that, I don't think we have any trips besides family stuff planned or that we've talked about. I think it'll be nice after all that stuff said and done to probably just be kind of home.
Yeah.
Both people who thrive off of routine and our own space and things.
100%.
Yeah. So, are you excited to decorate a place with me? And by decorate, I mean put up all the things I want you to put up. Put bowls on our walls.
Yep.
Put up our TV. That's one thing. I said that I would get excited about decorating and making a place a home when I had a family.
Right.
And now I have a family. Whole ass family. It was my favorite gift that I got. I don't know. The shirt I'm wearing is pretty close second, but my favorite gift that Jake got me for Christmas is a picture frame, and in the middle it says family is everything, or family is where home begins.
No, family is where love is.
Family is where love is, yeah. And it has like 6, 7, 8 different picture. Yeah, because in the middle is where that is. It's like 8 different picture frames. And he picked 8 of the most recent pictures for after Holden was born. So it was great because there's one with Holden, one with Jake and Holden, with me and Holden, my mom and Holden, my dad and Holden, my grandma Ruth and Holden. I think there's only 6.
No, there's 8.
Yeah.
There was one with Grandma
Mona. Oh, Grandma Mona. And then Lillian. That's right. And it obviously, I cried. But I was telling him yesterday, I said, please don't be offended that I haven't asked you to put this up on the wall yet. But after we started talking about this Utah position pretty seriously. I didn't think it made sense to put it on the wall just to take it down, pack it, and put it on a new wall. So
yeah. Oh, which was funny because literally you were in labor and Mary Lee called me.
Yeah, what? I think she called you around like 4 o'clock?
5. Yep.
So I wasn't that far. Labor started at 2, and I was like, yeah, go ahead and take the call. And you talked to her for a while.
Yeah. I don't think I've had a phone conversation with her other than today. That was under an hour and 20 minutes.
I forgot to give her shit for that, but I told Jake, I said, I'm going to give your boss a hard time for being the other woman that you were talking to when I was in labor. And he just laughed, which I did. I told him to take the phone call. I knew it was important. And at that point, it wasn't like anything was going to progress in 30 minutes. So yeah, you weren't missing anything. Yeah, that's very funny.
Yeah, I haven't had a conversation, like, or Rhonda, the
recruiter.
Yeah. Yeah, there's not been a conversation under an hour and a half, other than last night's, this morning's, so.
Well, something else exciting that, I've talked about on my social media, but I get to be a stay-at-home mommy.
Yep.
That's very exciting. Still have different things that I'd like to kind of do on the side, and if something becomes a consistent income to where I can call it like a consistent, you know, job, that's great too. But I love that I get to focus on just raising our tiny human.
Oh, we're gonna start the clothing company back up.
Yeah, that's what I was gonna say. I know nothing about producing clothing, but how long did you have that going for?
For a year.
A year?
Yeah.
Yeah. He made some pretty dope apparel and did really well with it. And having someone who can actually help support him through it, so he's not doing that all on his own while also, you know, doing a normal job, I think will make your life a little bit easier, and that'll be exciting.
Yeah, I mean, like, so my first batch of clothes that I, or shirts that I made, I had a screen printing shop do it, and then I had the money, so I went and bought a printer that could print on the shirts, and then I did had vinyl as well, so like if it was just simple letters, I wasn't going to waste a ton of ink just on the vinyl stuff. Vinyl's cheap enough that, and I could, you know, do everything with just the writing side of it. Like some of the shirts just simply said "fuck Joe Biden" or "let's go Brandon," and I wasn't going to waste printer ink on it because I didn't have the room to have a screen printing machine, but table.
Yeah,
but I did all of that on my own. Did all the I did all the printing, all the vinyl on my own. And like after, you know, some days were 24 to 36 hour days at the trucking company over in Idaho Falls. I did that all on my own, like one dude, and it was still a consistent $3,000 to $4,000 a month.
Yeah. No, I think it's something that I've never done, so just navigating something a little bit different, but something that we both are passionate of as far as doing our own thing. And then I like the content that you said, you know, was on the shirts that you made, especially with this next election coming up. I think that'll be a good time to produce some more fun slogans and things for people to wear. And what a great excuse for me to have more oversized t-shirts.
Yeah.
Considering I already have stolen all your 2Xs.
Right.
So I lived in them at the end of pregnancy. And I think now I'm just excited that I can, like, wear normal clothes again.
Yeah.
So I don't quite live in them as much. And they're a little long to be breastfeeding friendly. I have to hike them all the way up.
Well, it's also for your discretion, too. You can just sneak them in there and nobody knows that you're breastfeeding our child.
There, I have literally seen on social media women with a full cover over their head and the baby's head. It's like a tent.
So you have, like, a death trap of
that's
heat?
What I'm saying. Okay, and what I was thinking, I'm like, the amount of heat that our sun radiates, absolutely not. I damn near pass out. He's such a sweaty little boy. Oh, man. As especially when he sleeps.
Yeah.
When he wakes back up, it just drips. And his head stinks.
That's from your armpit.
Yeah, probably. He does. He smells like dirty armpit. I think the mixture of him sweating, and then we've kept baby oil on his... He has one little scab left, and it's almost cleared up from the vacuum and everything. How many days did we wait? So we didn't let them give him a bath when he was in the hospital.
No.
And for those that don't know, when you are pregnant past 41 weeks, typically your baby will come out without vernix. So without that white stuff on their skin, they'll just come out scaly and red because they've kind of passed that point of gestation of needing that protective layer. And so he didn't need a bath right away, besides the fact that he came out with a whole head of hair and obviously all the blood and juices and things that come out was all up in his hair. And because he had so much trauma on his head, we were in no rush to wash his hair. Because touching his head was not good for him. So they asked if they could give him a bath in the hospital. We said no. And then we didn't wash his hair day six of being home. Okay. Yeah. And he took it like a champ.
Yeah.
I mean, he slept through the whole thing. It was definitely, I wish I would have talked to Patricia first because she said hydrogen peroxide would have taken the broken down the proteins in the blood. He got it right out. Instead, I used like conditioner and baby shampoo and it took a hot minute. But he did great. And then we officially gave him his first bath 2 days after his umbilical stump fell off.
Yep.
So he has gotten baths, and he really liked the one the other night.
Yeah.
Which was great. He did really well. But, his poor head gets stinky. He smells like baby everywhere else, but his head and his hair, yikes, man. Armpit baby for sure. He's going to love listening to these when he's older. Like, what in the hell are my mom and dad doing, leaving him with a stinky head?
Also, he's probably going to be like, what the fuck is a podcast?
I wonder if that'll still be a thing.
I doubt it. Look at every... Well, I mean, like, in some degree it's going to be, but probably not the same way that we know it, because before podcasts, it was AM radio.
Yeah.
And then YouTube.
I also think a lot of bigger name podcasters, when they podcast, they do video recordings as well.
Yeah.
So people can either watch and listen or just listen.
Right.
I don't watch the videos of podcasters. That's not my thing. I would rather just watch YouTube if I'm going to watch something like on a treadmill when I'm doing that stuff. Or just listen. But I think we a little bit of a disadvantage there. I enjoy, though, that I have somebody I can podcast with and share family things with. And I've definitely shifted my social media content over the years. And I enjoy getting to share family stuff and motherhood and navigating it as a first-time mom who doesn't know what the hell she's doing, but since we figured it out, kid's happy, healthy, and fed. So, and you're fed, usually.
Yep.
Excited to get back into a little more of a routine of cooking for you. That's been a little hard to get with, but yeah. So, having someone I can podcast with, especially on trips, I think it's another fun way to just document our life and just have what I like about podcasts is it's just conversation.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be scripted, and videos are hard to sit down and do. How long did it? Well, we didn't even sit down and talk at the end of the nursery tour. Like, we're gonna register together.
I didn't know we were gonna talk after that.
Yeah, I wanted to like talk about it and talk about what we're planning. Preparing for the birth and things, but it just time just kept getting away, and sitting down the two of us in front of a camera just did not seem like the best use of our time.
Right.
Boy, this is a easy little set it up and go. So, but I think we've rambled enough. If there are specific things you would like Jake and I to talk about, let us know, probably through my social media. Again, if you're not already following me, I don't know how you found my podcast, but that's great. Share it with a friend. If you are following me, DM me, let me know your thoughts, ask questions. Life with Kylie 3_ on Instagram. And we'll come up with some more ideas based on what y'all bring in, and chat with you guys later.